Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
The man's got guts. He's got oranges the size of beach balls.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say. Here I stand. I'm not backing down.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
It's kind of weird around here because we have lights in our studio at 97.1 FM Talk, but we don't have lights in the rest of the building. Fred and I were down on the other side. We thought maybe we didn't pay the bills, but here we are as we started Tuesday. I mean, no one really affected except for us, but we thought we'd share that, right,
Sue? Kind of felt like a holiday.
Maybe it's an April Fool's prank. Maybe someone's really getting us good.
I like that. It did feel like a holiday, Fred. That's how it feels like when you're here and nobody else is here.
When did it go out? Did anybody know?
No longer than a half hour ago.
Oh, wow. Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't know. Are we on generator right now?
Yes, we must be.
Yes, we are.
Generac.
Thanks for the Generac.
Cha-ching!
Home standby generator from Generator Supercenter, working in the sponsors here. We love that. Well, good afternoon. We're going to get you through the next few hours here on a nice sunny day, but it's chilly out there. Sue reports that it's windy as well.
I don't like the wind.
No.
It's supposed to be another wind advisory. The city sent me a text starting tomorrow at noon to like 7.
But we also have there's a lot of rain coming this week, isn't there?
Yeah, and that starts tomorrow too,
right.
I think.
Might have to cut the lawn again tomorrow morning. You know, I cut it last Thursday for the first time, but if the rain's coming, you got to get in there and do it again, right?
I love how dedicated. You just go from one extreme to the other.
I'm only dedicated because I know, here's the thing. I know if I don't cut it, now that you've cut it that one time, it's going to grow like crazy. If I don't cut it tomorrow and I can't get to it till next Tuesday, that's not going to be good.
It'll
so
be brutal.
Spend less time cutting grass, more time baking cookies.
See, there you go. Me.
I like that. Okay. I do like that, Fred, for sure. All right. Well, we have Sean Spicer coming up here in just a few minutes. I'm very excited to talk to him about a variety of things, including the Signal controversy, but also, and I'm going to get to the MS-13 gang member story, which is grabbing the country today because a lot of facts are wrong from The Atlantic, but we'll get to that. We have, you know, yesterday I mentioned this story from the Free Press that Franny Block wrote about this situation in Evanston, Illinois, where this little 11-year-old kid was just simply trying to help his friend who was tying jump ropes into a noose, not because of racism, but because he was indicating that he might harm himself. It was a mental crisis. This little boy tries to help him. He does help him. And then the school kicks him out and they actually charged him with a crime, with a hate crime. It is a horrifying story. And Franny's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Chris Kerber's going to be here. Let's talk a little bit about sports because there's a few things happening here that are positive, some things not so positive. But I want to get to the Cardinals here in a second. But the Blues go for their 10th win in a row tonight. The Frozen Four is also in town at Enterprise, so that's a big deal. Kerbs is going to give us the update on all of that coming up. We have Telephone Tuesday coming up, so after Sue's News, we're going to take some calls this afternoon. But let me just start here just briefly before I get into the MS-13 stuff with the Cardinals. Now, I mentioned yesterday. By the way, yesterday the game was frustrating from the standpoint that they had that game. It goes into extra innings and they lost last night. But, you know, they get a great start. They're 3-1. But what I said yesterday on the show, and Fred, you said you were at the game on Saturday, but it was pretty jarring looking at the stadium on Sunday. Now, the weather wasn't that great. It's the first weekend of the season, all this stuff. But then last night, it's been reported, Derek Gould and others, that the crowd at Busch Stadium was the lowest crowd, the smallest crowd that they've had in how many years?
I mean, well, in the whole Busch 3 history.
In this history,
outside of the pandemic.
Outside of the pandemic, which makes sense. So that, you know, what was it, 21,000? And you can see it, right? And that's, look, I was so used to this living in Milwaukee for all those years because especially when the Brewers sucked, which was most of the years that I was there, you wouldn't find anyone in that baseball stadium until maybe mid-June, you know, because of school. It was just bleak. And you see that, you know, look around the league. You see Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. These are relatively, you know, good baseball markets, but it's tough to get fans out. But we don't see that here at Busch Stadium that often. And that's why it's so jarring. So, you know, a good start's going to turn things around, but we'll ask some questions maybe related to that in the next hour. Let me get into the MS-13 situation, because even from the start of this Tuesday, things have changed a little bit on this. Caroline has gotten involved and kind of, you know, fought back against this Atlantic story. And J.D. Vance has gotten very aggressive on the ex, formerly Twitter, as well. But here's the story. Now, it's by no accident, probably, that this is in the Atlantic, where you have Jeffrey Goldberg that's at the, you know, center of this controversy and the Signal thing from last week. This is not a story that he wrote. It's a guy by the name of Nick Miroff. But here's what the headline is. And here's what's also fascinating. You got to think about this. And I think that the vice president kind of put this into perspective, and I'll put it into perspective as well, because no matter what the facts are about this particular deportee, you have people out there that are determining, and this is the media too, the legacy media is determining that the real victims are the gang members that were trying to get out of the country. We've got 20 million people that came into this country. You know, somebody, I don't even know who this person is, but somebody said that this was truly chilling. I think what's truly chilling is letting millions of people crawl across the border. All right. So I think that that's chilling. But here's the story tugging at the heartstrings. An administrative error sends a Maryland father to a Salvadoran prison. The Trump administration says that it mistakenly deported an immigrant with protected status, but that the courts are powerless to order his return. I'm going to give you what Nick reported in The Atlantic, which I think at this point we are aware is mostly untrue. And then I'll give you the true part of all this, which you won't get probably anywhere else. So here's the story that they blast out, because anything that is negative against the Trump administration or any kind of success that the administration might have, they're going to go counter to that. So the Trump administration, this is where the reporting gets weird. They say acknowledged in a court filing Monday it had grabbed a Maryland father with protected legal status and mistakenly deported him to El Salvador, but said that the U.S. courts lacked jurisdiction to order his return from the mega prison where he's now locked up. So the Atlantic says the case appears to be the first time that the Trump administration has admitted to errors when it sent three plane loads of Salvadoran and Venezuelan deportees to the terrorism confinement center on March 15th. The Atlantic reporting goes on to say attorneys for several Venezuelan deportees have said that the Trump administration falsely labeled their clients as gang members because of their tattoos. Trump officials have disputed those claims. But what they say in The Atlantic is that in court yesterday, the Trump administration lawyers admitted that this guy, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, had been deported accidentally. So the court was told, although ICE was aware of his protection from removal to El Salvador, Abrego Garcia was removed to El Salvador because of an administrative error. That's what they said allegedly yesterday. But that doesn't really make sense with what Caroline was saying today, Fred, does it?
No.
Because now, you know, the narrative that The Atlantic has right now and that everyone, let's face it, everyone has rolled with and picked up is all the evil Trump administration. They caught up this father of the year. He's a soccer coach, just a good guy. And they sent him back to this prison. Now he can't get back. What are they doing? This is horrific, right? Well, the problem is the facts are disputed right now. So here's what Carolyn said today.
This individual was an MS-13 ringleader. This individual was also engaged in human trafficking. And I'm glad you brought up this point again, because I would like to point out that if you just saw the headline from the insane failing Atlantic magazine this morning, you would think this individual was father of the year, living in Maryland, living a peaceful life, when that couldn't be further from the truth. They didn't even mention in the title of that article, or even in the first paragraph, that this individual is an illegal criminal who broke our nation's immigration laws. He is a leader in the brutal MS-13 gang, and he is involved in human trafficking. And now MS-13 is a designated foreign terrorist organization. Foreign terrorists have no legal protections in the United States of America.
All right, so this is where the facts don't match up with what The Atlantic is reporting. And here's what J.D. Vance is doing. And this is interesting because the communication from this White House is unprecedented. It really is. Look, they're always answering questions. And J.D. Vance is going right to X directly and addressing these issues. So he actually name-checked a guy by the name of Kyle Cheney, who was tweeting about some of this. And the vice president said, Kyle Cheney, a, quote, legal affairs reporter, unquote, is apparently unable or unwilling to look at the facts here. In 2019, an immigration judge under the first administration, the first Trump administration, determined that the deported man was, in fact, a member of the MS-13 gang. He also apparently had multiple traffic violations for which he appeared or failed to appear in court. A real winner, the vice president says. It is telling that the entire American media is going to run a propaganda operation today, making you think that an innocent father of three was apprehended by a gulag. Here are the relevant facts. One, the man is an illegal immigrant with no right to be in our country. I don't think that that's disputed at all. Okay, so he broke the law to get here. We know that. Two, an immigration judge determined he was a member of the MS-13 gang. This is where that seems to be disputed, that The Atlantic says one thing and J.D. Vance, the administration, is saying another thing, and Carolyn, too. Number three, because he's not a citizen, he does not get a full jury trial by peers. In other words, whatever due process he was entitled to, he received. That's one of the complaints right now, is that he's not getting, you know, his due process. Well, he is not a citizen. So what happened here is, I'll give you a little bit of the background. He was arrested in a Home Depot parking lot years ago, and there was an allegation that he was, in fact, an MS-13 gang member. But what The Atlantic, I'm going to pivot this to The Atlantic side versus the administration side. The reporters are alleging that he was falsely labeled as a gang member. He's not really a gang member, but J.D. Vance says exactly the opposite, that in fact they have determined that he was a gang member. And all this stuff right now is just a bunch of media nonsense. I'll be honest, I don't even know what the truth is right now, because it's so hard to determine. I'm going to lean on the side of the administration, because The Atlantic has no credibility in my mind, and it seems like some of the facts were off a little bit. The other thing I would say is that, Carolyn, you heard this earlier this morning. Carolyn was pretty aggressive on this. I mean, they wanted to fight back, and they're not taking this story lying down, and they're trying to get some more of the facts out. So this will be an interesting moment with the media to see if the administration points toward differences in the reporting and whether or not the reporting is corrected. I guess I would say that. But Mr. Spicer is going to have a lot to say on that. He's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll have Telephone Tuesday after Sue's News in the next hour. Chris Kerber is coming up a little later this hour as well. Also, Franny Block from the Free Press. It's all coming up on a Tuesday edition of The Mark Reardon Show.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tuesday afternoon on The Mark Reardon Show, we have Chris Kerber coming up in just a little bit. The Blues are on fire. That's like an understatement. They go for 10 in a row tonight. We have not only Telephone Tuesday, but Sue's News coming up in the next hour, and then Franny Block from the Free Press in the 5 o'clock hour, plus an audio cut of the day right now. Sean Spicer is back with us on 97.1 FM Talk. He is the host of The Sean Spicer Show. You can find his show on YouTube. How are you, Sean, this afternoon?
Man, I feel like every day is a whirlwind. You walk away from the TV for like 8 seconds. I missed Caroline's briefing for five. What did I miss? Trump signing an executive order. You can't take a breath or even go to the bathroom in this administration here on day 71 without missing something. You know what I'm saying, Mark?
I do, because I want to talk to you about the Signal controversy, but that's so last week, wasn't it? There's other things this week.
What? When was that?
Well, let me start with this. I tweeted this out a short time ago. So you have this story in The Atlantic. An administrative error sends a Maryland father to a Salvadoran prison. And there's people out there like, I don't even know who this guy is, Connor Friesdorf. He retweets that. He goes, truly chilling. Maybe it is. Maybe there's a mistake there. But I said, you know what's really truly chilling? Letting millions of migrants crawl across our border and invade our nation. That, to me, is more chilling than what happened to this dude.
Also, like, now, I'm going to admit this because I'm half joking about this. I'm in the middle of something as Caroline was doing a briefing, but she seems to have hit back about the validity of this incident.
Yes.
And something about his gang affiliations. And that's where, again, you know, I try to not take the bait when The Atlantic puts out a story for obvious reasons. But I like I said, now I feel like I need to go back and reread this because the left doesn't want to tell you the whole story most of the time about who these people are and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going, wait a second. So let me get this straight. He was an MS-13 ganger. Like, what else didn't we know before I go out and defend this crap? And So you probably know more than I do right now because I feel like I'm behind the curve. But it sounds like this is not as plain and simple as they wanted us to believe.
No, exactly. And J.D. Vance is out there. That's what, maybe check what he's saying, because he's got a string out there about some of this as well, which is interesting because he's taken to the ex, formerly Twitter, a couple of times. And here's what he said here. Joe Biden sanctioned an invasion of the United States. We have approximately 20 million illegals in the country. Their victims are measured in longer wait times for hospitals, overwhelmed schools, and murder victims the media largely ignored. The media has determined the real victims are the gang members we're trying to get out of this country. And that last part seems very true right now. This is who they're going to bat for.
Well, exactly. And this is why I'm saying the media doesn't tell you the whole story. I have been saying this from the beginning, by the way. Well, frankly, I think most people right now don't recognize the difference between presidencies. So you had Trump, he secured the border. Biden undid it. Trump's doing it again. I am a big believer that we need comprehensive immigration so that we have a law that locks a lot of this stuff in, and that we don't have the change in administration where people can decide what to follow, what not. Okay, that's number one. Number two is when we get told these things. I mean, one of the things that's interesting is that you got to remember when someone crosses the border without permission, like going into your house. That's breaking the law. And the press keeps saying, well, this person didn't have a criminal code. Yeah, they did. If they came into the country illegally, then they did come in, you know, then they did break the law. And that's what they never want to tell you.
No, of course not.
That to me is the important thing, is to understand that that's what's really going on.
Well, let's stay on the Atlantic and Jeffrey Goldberg and all that, because I'm still a little confused about this. And I think everyone's admitted it's a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. But what is your theory of how Jeffrey Goldberg gets on that string on Signal?
I don't think that's, I mean, I don't mean to make this sound difficult, but to me, Mike Waltz, the national security advisor, has admitted it. He said, I basically mistakenly added him in. Right. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see that as like he's owned that, correct?
Well, he has, but then he said that he didn't have his contact. And I guess the confusing part is if I'm texting you, Sean, and I have another, I have Sean Thomas, another friend, so for example, say, and then I accidentally send it to him. I think we've all done that. We know how that works. But the problem with this one is he didn't seem to indicate, Mike Walls, that he had the contact. So that's why.
No. Okay. Yeah. So you're hitting. I played this game. Okay, and we have a thing called the morning meeting every morning at 9 a.m.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
On YouTube, right. So I said this, I did the test myself. December of 2016, January of 2017, The Atlantic, there's a horrible person named Julia Offie that wrote this disgusting, literally disgusting, repulsive story, noting that Ivanka Trump could want to do certain inappropriate things to her own father. I called Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of The Atlantic at the time, to lodge my concerns. And so it didn't go well. And needless to say, we haven't had a very good relationship since. But the point is that I have no problem. I have Jeffrey Goldberg in my phone today. So what I did is I went to Signal and I said, is Jeffrey Goldberg in my Signal account? Because I wanted to kind of recreate this. And he was, because if you have someone in your contacts, then it populates in your Signal contacts. That's how it works. So I don't. Fully, I've known.
Well, that makes more sense, certainly.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is what I don't get about this. This is where I don't get this, is that to me, this is not why isn't he just saying, yeah, I had a conversation with the guy 5 years ago. He's in my thing. I fat fingered the guy. Like, right. Jamison Greer is the U.S. Trade Representative. I'm going to guess, I have no knowledge of this, I'm going to guess that's who he intended to put in. Right. And he mistakenly JG versus JG, because that's how it shows up in Signal. Like I said, I did this myself. I went and said, how would this happen? And I looked, I said, oh, if I were looking for JG, Jamison Greer, now maybe there's another dude at the NSC named, Jeffrey Gordon, and it's JG. But it makes sense that you're talking about trade routes and the Houthis and what they're doing to inhibit trade, and you want the U.S. trade rep on there. Okay, that's very plausible to me. And you mistakenly put, instead of Jamison Greer, you put Jeffrey Goldberg. But when he said, I don't know how this happened, that's where, again, I like Mike Waltz. I know Mike Waltz, but I don't get how that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one piece where I'm like, you lost me at hello.
Yeah, that's where I'm a little stuck on too. But you gave probably the best explanation of how it could potentially have happened that I've heard probably in the last week. How much is Sean Spicer taking a look at this Wisconsin Supreme Court race today and the elections in Florida? I spent a little time on Wisconsin yesterday. I lived up there for almost 10 years. It's a weird state. This is not a general election. It's an April election where a lot of people aren't going to show up. There's a lot of union money, obviously, in all of this, and George Soros money. But how much of a temperature is this going to indicate if Crawford wins? Because I think Crawford probably will win in Wisconsin. Maybe this guy, Brad Schimmel, pulls out, because if he pulls out a victory, that's certainly a different narrative. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think you and I are probably pretty aligned on this. The Dems currently have a 4-3 majority. I think it's an off year. They're more fired up. But Wisconsin's very tough to pull. It's all about turnout. I was at the RNC during 2 Scott Walker recalls. So, I mean, I think there's enough money there. I think Schimmel has got a shot at doing this. The people, Elon just didn't show up. He put some real personal money into that race for ground game. So, look, Florida to me, as long as those races don't get within 5, which I don't think they will, then Democrats saying, oh, we only lost by 15 is not a great narrative. I mean, that's theoretically right now what they want to say. We sucked less. We sucked less than we normally suck. And if that's your political case, I mean, look, games, there's winners and then there's losers. And so I get if you can say, oh, well, Waltz won this by 35. We only lost by 20. God bless you. But this is not ever going to make a difference, right? It reverts back to a general election when in November. They're not going to win. So either one of those states. So it's all about signaling. And I think anyone who thinks that getting it down to 15 as a sign is nuts. But I do think that Wisconsin is telling. It is a tight race. The Dems are favored. If the woman, remind me her name.
Jan Crawford.
Crawford. If she were to blow this out by 10 points, I'd say that would trouble me. Because of the amount of money in there, I'd say, guys, we got to reexamine stuff. If she keeps this close, I'm fine.
Yeah. By the way, Susan Crawford. I think I'm Jan Crawford is a CBS News correspondent. So there,
I knew that name.
No, I screwed that up because I had to check that. So I'm glad I corrected myself.
Although the way CBS conducts themselves, especially Margaret Brennan, it wouldn't surprise me at all if one of those ended up running as a Dem in any state.
Man, Margaret Brennan, good Lord, she's a piece of work for sure. All right, one more question here, because I think this is just hilarious. There is more reporting now in a new book from people who refused to tell us what was happening for the last 4 years. This Jonathan Allen guy's got a new book out. Yeah. We know about the one from a couple of weeks ago. I mean, give me a break, right, Sean?
So here's the thing. I signed a non-disclosure because they're going to be on my show. So they gave me an advanced copy to read. There are four books, including Jay Tapper's, called Original Sin. These folks who lied, gaslit us, for bringing up Biden's cognitive abilities, et cetera, physical and mental, who told us that we were crazy, we were gaslit, now are profiting from this. Profiting. And I'm, by the way, as a side note, since I name-checked him, I don't know if you saw the news, Mark, but Hooters is going to go through Chapter 11. Tapper is the former spokesman for Hooters.
That's right.
And I know that that's got to be tough for him. People thought it was an April Fool's joke, and I was like, nope, here's his Wikipedia page. He was the Hooters spokesman. So, I'm sure he's got his own orange shorts hanging in his room somewhere as a commemorative gift from his time there.
I think you were the one who told me that like 6 months ago. I had not been aware of that, and I thought it was made up fake news, but no, that's in fact the case.
I love reminding people of that, though.
So did you say that you have, you just can't talk about it right now, you have read this new book?
I'm halfway through.
Okay.
I've got it. Fine. Right. Yeah. And it's amazing. I mean, honestly, I'm like, wait a second. All these guys, and by the way, I guarantee you they're going to make a ton of money, but it's amazing that the level of detail that they have and that they're willing to share now, and that the people around it, and yet no one would say a thing when it was in real time. Like all of these stories about Democrats expressing concern back in July of last year, issues that they saw rising before that. And I'm like, so let me get this straight. When we all were concerned that he might not be fit for office, you told us that we were liars and partisans. And now that you're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars from doing it, it's like, oh, yeah, we were reporting on it the whole time.
Yeah, it's kind of despicable. It really is. But I'm curious to see what kind of details they come up with. There's no doubt about that. And now you have left me in the audience with this image of Jake Tapper in kind of a Hooters outfit. So I don't know if that's a good thing this afternoon.
No, that's never a good thing. By the way, Harrison Fields, the principal deputy press secretary, is on my show tonight. If you go to YouTube, you can check it out. But he is Caroline's number two, fantastic guy, really sharp. And we talk about the Correspondents Association and Liberation Day with the tariffs. So a great conversation with Harrison Fields if you just go to my YouTube channel.
Awesome. Sean Spicer, you're always great. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too, Mark. Thanks.
I'm very curious about this book, Fight, even though it's hilarious that the same group of people who refuse to even dabble in any kind of questioning about mental ability or cognitive ability are now writing books about this. But, we have Dwayne Patterson has become a great contributor to the show, and he writes over at hotair.com. He has a podcast called Dwayne's World, but his regular gig, and it has been for decades, is he's Hugh Hewitt's executive producer. And Hugh was raving about the book, saying that it's a shocker and well worth reading. So that could be interesting. It comes out next Tuesday. We'll try to get one of those reporters on the air as well to talk about Fight. The Blues are on fire. They go for 10 in a row tonight. Chris Kerber with a preview coming up. Well, it just happens to be a Tuesday. Do you know what that means?
Oh, is it take a call? I can't remember the alliteration.
We had a better phrase for it. It's called Telephone Tuesday. Thanks for remembering.
Right.
But we will take calls in the next hour. Just a little experiment that we started. But we'll take some calls after Sue's news. Right now, I have my former racquetball playing partner who went on the injured reserve list. But he's the voice of the Blues as well. Chris Kerber is with us because, holy moly, this Blues story is amazing. How are you, Kerbs?
Mark, I'm doing good. You guys had that music so loud, I don't think anybody could hear any of the conversation you guys just had.
I think they could. It just probably sounds weird during the the phone lines. And I apologize for that. That was Anderson East, so I apologize for that. Hey, this story, before we get into the details about the Blues, I would say, just as a sports fan, this is one of the best sports stories in the whole country right now, isn't it?
Well, it's another great one, and the funny thing is it's mirroring 2019 so doggone much, isn't it? I mean, they're clicking, they're going, they've won 9 in a row. Calgary is still keeping the pressure on, but what the Blues have done in the last 2 months, month and a half, has erased any kind of game in hand situation, and now they've got to finish it off. They put the situation back where they control their cards if they win the games they need to win. And that's a great thing. They're playing well. It's a fun brand of hockey. It's terrific defense. It's pumping goals in offensively. They've won their last two games in tight playoff fashion. The goaltending's playing well. And then tonight you get to see the debut of Jimmy Snuggerud. So that's going to be a pretty doggone neat experience, I think.
Yeah, explain that. That was my radio name back in high school, by the way. Great radio name, Jimmy Snuggerud. But this is a young kid that just kind of got picked up recently.
Well, yes and no. He got picked up recently, yes. He just got signed.
But he was drafted 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, the Blues drafted him 23rd overall in 2022. He decides to go back to his last 2 years of college. So he leaves after his junior year of college. He was described to me by a former general manager in this league as an Oshie plus type player. Wow. He's got a hard right-handed shot. He has shown the ability to score goals in college hockey. A very talented player. This is someone that the Blues are excited about. Now, he's got teammates. This is true. It's hard to imagine that they did not end up winning the national championship when he's got teammates like Brock Faber, who's got a chance to be Rookie of the Year this year. He plays for Minnesota. Matthew Nyes is now with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Another couple of them that just signed with Chicago and some other teams. Like, this team really had some talent on it. Interviewed him on over the weekend going into Saturday's game. He's got a good head about him. They like his IQ, his smarts. His dad played in the National Hockey League for a number of years as well, so he's got some pedigree. You just look at him. You look at him when he skates. Like, he skated in practice yesterday. He goes, he just looks like he fits in. So I'm excited that they made the very hard decision to play him today. And I say that it's a hard decision because you had to take somebody out, and this team is playing well enough that you really didn't need to take somebody out. But I'm still excited that they're going to see what he brings to the table, because he might bring another element of depth to this team down the stretch here.
Hey, Curbs, Ethan Hannaford here. Appreciate you hopping on. My question kind of has to do exactly with what you mentioned there at the end. A lot of excitement around Jimmy Snuggerud, but how do you expect for whether it be the upper management or it be for Jim Montgomery to handle both him and their other top prospect that just brought up last week in Dalibor Dvorsky? How do you expect them in the midst of a playoff run to handle them? Are they going to be getting consistent ice time? I know there's that inexperience, but obviously there's still a lot of talent there.
Well, Ethan, I think you got to look at this from a couple of different standpoints, and I'm going to give you an example from a couple of years ago. You know, the Blues had Jake Neighbors down in the minor leagues. They had sent him down. He was playing in Springfield. The team was struggling. Doug Armstrong did not want to call him up at a certain time because he didn't think that coming into that atmosphere of a struggling team that wasn't winning, kind of lost its identity, he didn't think that would be good for him. It'd be better for him to stay in the minors and get some more of that development. Well, look at the case that he's brought Dvorsky up from Springfield and he's brought Snuggerud in from college. You've got two guys now are stepping into a winning locker room, a winning attitude. They're seeing what's going on. So even though you've got Dvorsky that has not been playing right now, that only played the one game and is not scheduled to play tonight, but even though you've got Dvorsky around, he's practicing every day with the NHL club. He's seeing what it's like to be on the bus and on the planes and did a road trip with the Blues. Snuggerud's going to get that opportunity too. If nothing else, and I don't know how the season's going to end, it's looking promising that they can make the playoffs, but they still got to give themselves a few more wins to get there. Does it go on a run? Do they lose in the first round if they get there? I have no idea. Well, what ends up happening, though, is Snuggerud and Dvorsky are getting a hell of an education right now on what it's going to take, what it's like to be around. That will fuel them into what's needed from them this summer. And then they know to expect a lot more, and they're coming back with those expectations in the fall. And that's the deal. But you have the luxury right now that neither one of these guys has to come in and do anything spectacular for the team. They just have to play a support role when they're needed because this team is playing some good hockey. And that's a great way to bring prospects along.
Yeah, it is, because that takes a lot of the pressure off. So you got the next three games are at home, too, and I don't know what advantage that offers, but the Red Wings tonight, the Penguins on Thursday. The last time that the Blues lost was to Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
The last time they lost was to, is it Pittsburgh or Dallas, I think. One of those two,
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's right. We had Dallas, then we had the L.A. swing, then we went to Pittsburgh. Yeah, and you know, that was a game, Mark, where the Blues dominated. Tristan Jarry, who's got a great record against the Blues, was just fantastic. But, look, they've got an opportunity here, having won 9 in a row. The franchise record was set in 2019 when they won 11. You've got Detroit battling for a playoff spot in the East. They've struggled a little bit. You know, then you got Pittsburgh, who's clearly out of it, but they've got Crosby and Jarry and some other terrific players on that team. The Blues are just going to try to keep it rolling and see where it goes. The bottom line for St. Louis is if they just were to go 4-3, win 4, lose 3 of their last 7 games, you basically put Calgary and Vancouver in a spot where they're going to have to win all but one of their remaining games. And they have tougher schedules. Calgary's got Vegas a couple times. Vancouver's got Winnipeg. I mean, it's just that it's a hard thing that they've done. Now, the key is what they can't do is the Blues can't put themselves where you slip on a banana peel here this week. Take advantage of your schedule, because after this week, you're going Colorado on Saturday. Then you're playing in Winnipeg. Then you're playing in Edmonton, right? And then there's only 2 games left after that. So this is an important start to the week. And like we were talking about the education for these guys, it's great for Neighbors, Holloway, all these young players that are playing in these meaningful games with a lot on the line.
Curbs, a lot of fun hockey this week, but a lot of really interesting hockey next weekend here in St. Louis for the Frozen Four.
Yeah, this is cool. You know, the last time that St. Louis had the Frozen Four, you had Ben Bishop coming in with Maine.
Wow.
You had Chris Porter coming in with North Dakota. And the city of St. Louis, being the great sports town it is, set records, you know, for attendance and stuff. I thought it was fantastic. So Frozen Four is now set, where you've got 2 amazing matchups. You've got Denver, who's been winning national championships lately. They're going to play Western Michigan, right? Penn State is going to play Boston University. So you've got kind of the classic old program in Boston University, right? The solid program in Denver. Western Michigan, who, when Andy Murray, the former Blues head coach, was coaching, Andy Murray was the one that convinced the school to go into the NCHC. You know, and then you got Penn State, who a number of years back had a donor that says, I'm going to donate $1 million. We're going to get this done. We're going to put a hockey team in. And that was one of the reasons that the Big Ten created their own hockey, you know, league officially. So pretty cool. So it's coming up on at Enterprise Center next weekend, and you get, you know, the tickets, obviously. If you get the ticket on the 1 days for the 2 games and you got the championship game, you get your tickets at stlouisblues.com/tickets. You'll find the link there through Ticketmaster, and basically NCAA championship hockey coming to town. It's
fun.
Pretty cool.
Great. The 2 games, Western Michigan, Denver on Thursday, BU against Penn State later Thursday, then the championship game on Saturday. Let's go get 3 more victories at home this week for the Blues, Chris Kerber. How about that?
Let's have a lot of fun, guys. Get this team into the playoffs and see what happens. Just got to get in. Then we already know if you get in, you got a chance.
Absolutely. All right, Curbs, thank you so much for squeezing us in. Very appreciated.
Right.
Blues at home tonight.
Get more at 971talk.com.